Today we thank you for precious children, O Lord, as we sit in your presence. And Lord Jesus, you have said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things, lead you to all scriptures. I will bring to your remembrance all that I have taught you. Holy Spirit, Lord, without your revelation, we will not receive anything. You know the heart of God. And so we ask you to teach us, to reveal, to give us insight, and at the same time, help us to abide by your word. Help us to obey your word, confess your word, and go forward in your power, in your kingdom, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time we were dealing with, started with from curses to blessing. And we went through so many things, step by step, how the blessings and curses operate through words. And sometimes the words can be spoken or even thoughts or even written in a letter. Same thing. You know, there has to be a cause for a curse to be in operation. That you find in the scripture, Proverbs 26:2. And the same way the blessings operate, it operates through words spoken. And the blessings of God are there. The blessings of a father, very powerful, written in the scriptures. You see, the church has not got hold of this. Even now, except a few percentage of the churches. And we saw how under the sources of curses, God himself has spoken in many places for disobedience, the curse will come upon. And we went through the chapter Deuteronomy 27 and how these things, certain sins like murder and, removing the landmark. And of course, the number one thing is getting involved with worship of other gods, occult, idol worship and all that. That's the primary cause for curses to continue in a generation. Occult and anything to do with occult. And also we saw how theft, perjury and all that will bring about the curse. And the vows, when we make a vow and then when we don't carry out the vow, and then we put ourselves into the curse. And that begins to operate in our lives. And also it mentioned in Malachi, you all, most of you all know about the tithes. And when God asks us, can any man rob God? But you all have robbed the tithes and the offerings, and you are under a curse, then the Lord says. Then afterwards, the men representing God, and cursed by Joshua, you remember? The one who builds the Jericho and all that after so long. And the two sons of a man came and tried to build Jericho, and both of them died the very same day. And if you are a minister over there, and they would just say they were breathing the last, and you want to go in and pray, and how would you pray for without knowing the past history? That there was a curse they have come under. How would you minister to them? No way. See? And there was a curse by David on the mountains of Gilboa. And even now they are trying their best, the governments, to plant something over there. Nothing works out. Even today, after 3,000 years. And a curse pronounced by David and Joab on Joab and all that we went through. Then there's a prophetic curse on Judas for returning evil for good, you know. Then Jacob, without knowing, cursed his wife Rachel. So that whoever who has the idol, Laban asked for his idol, where is it? He said, anybody who has it, that person let him die, without knowing that Rachel had it. And Rachel was giving birth to a child, and then she was passing off. Now, when somebody said that, now she's in danger, and you are there as a minister, how will you pray? When she is actually been the victim of the words spoken by her own husband. These are real. You know, there was a young pregnant mother. This lady in our church, a very young believer too, she was almost in the last month of her delivery. And she looked sad for about 3-4 days. And one evening, there was no prayer meeting, and then she came to me and I said, "Why are you sad?" And she put her head down and then she said, "For nearly 3 days, there is no movement of my child inside. Absolutely, not even a little." I said, "All right." I told her to go inside the church building. And then Charmin was next to me, and I asked her, "Tell me, what happened?" And she said, "Nothing, brother." I said, "I asked her, did you go anywhere?" She said, "No." But I asked her, "Come on, think seriously. There has to be something." And she said, the sister was next to her elder sister, and they both remembered, and they said, "Yeah, we went to a brother-in-law's house." "Yeah, what happened?" "Oh, she started to weep, this mother with the child. And she said, he spoke some cursing words to me. He was angry about something." To make the story short, I said, "Those cursing words spoken to you really affected your child." And the Spirit of the Lord led me to break those words. So thank God there were some people immediately behind her. And as I said, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of those words spoken by her brother-in-law. And before I could say that, in Jesus' name, she was right on the floor. And then within seconds, she was actually laughing, holding her stomach. I bent down to see actually what's happening. And she said, she was telling me that the child is in motion and really kicking, you know, inside. See, the words, cursing words, damaged, affected, attacked that child. That child has no protection. If the mother takes, a pregnant mother takes, goes anywhere, a place where it is forbidden, according to the scriptures, not only she will be affected, the child will be affected. The child can get demonized too, because it has no protection. And that child may be born with a demon inside. Oh yes. I've seen demons in children just after 2 days, 3 days, just born. They just look and turn the other side. They won't look. Oh yes, brothers. It's all in the scriptures. Okay. So these are true, and they have effect on people. Now, we also said about the curses imposed by people on authority. A father, a teacher, a pastor. You all know that. I'm just recapitulating what I said before. And also self-imposed curses, like Rebecca. She said, "Whatever the curse, let it come on me." And that was it. I mean, she never saw Jacob afterwards. The words does really matter. And the Jews, of course, that's a notorious one. "Let his blood be upon us and our children." The blood of Jesus. They said, "Whom do you want to release?" And they said, "Jesus, your king?" No, we have one king, Caesar. "Then whom do you want me to release?" They said, "Barabbas," and that's it. So he said, "I am innocent from the blood." You see? But they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." And there afterwards, then we saw how Hitler came, and you know, there was so much damage for the Jews, and the great Holocaust and all that, you know that. Then satanic servants and satanic influence. I think we'll start. Numbers 22:6, it says Balak, the king, hired Balaam, right, to curse. Now, if there was nothing to do with any power of words, God could have just let him. But God said, "Don't go." See, this whole universe is formed of words.
God has given the power of words only to human beings and not to the animals. The words does matter. That's why Jesus said, every idle word, men will give an account on the day of judgment. That is, the day of judgment is the day where actually evil forces are released and you are in trouble because of the words that we have spoken. You have been trapped by your own words, the Bible says, Proverbs 6:2. God knew the power of words, so he stopped Balaam. And then even though he went, he changed his words into blessing. Now, there are some emotional curses that we need to be very careful. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. You see, God tells us, is there anybody here who's scared of all these things, what I am saying? You shouldn't be, because there is always a way out. Somebody say amen. There always, when God is teaching you these things, I mean, he's not, it's good that we get frightened and that we get a godly fear, that we are not very loose with our words. We should get frightened. We must be, have a godly fear. Oh yes, this is the scripture, and God says to be very careful about the words that we speak. So you don't have to, in other words, any other fear you shouldn't have. Romans 12:14. Let's see what this one says here. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Somebody persecute us, God says, bless them. Somebody pass a curse on us, God says, bless them. Watch here. We are asked to do something. There is no neutrality here. Somebody passes a curse on you or me. If you think, well, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, there's nothing is going to happen to me, blah, 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 you aren't a deception. Because God says you have better blessed, because that blessing is going to break. That missile that you are sending, that positive thing of God, is going to cancel the negative. And you say, oh, it's hard to bless a person who's cursing me. Well, that is the remedy God has provided for the children of God. That's right. You see? Verse 21, look at it. Do not be overcome by evil. Evil is the curse. But overcome evil with what? Good. Blessing is good. So you overcome. So somebody says, oh, I'm just waiting for your destruction or something like that. You wait and see, you're not going to live long. So you can say, Father, I forgive him and I bless him, Lord. Help him to know Jesus. Get that devil out of him, oh Lord Jesus, I pray. And you can say, I shall not die but live and declare the glory of God. Again, you are speaking scriptures. Now we're leaving this, we start cursing that person. Then we are opening the door for that curse to come upon us. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. So anybody curses, you pass the blessing that cancels. But that curse actually will go upon him. Because the Bible says he loved cursing, and that curse shall come upon him. Are you all there? All right, you're thinking, right? You guys, it's a... That's the way we protect ourselves. Overcome evil with good. But the devil will want to change our tongue, change our words. He will give pressure and he will attack our emotions and say something with our mouth, and then, you know, at least bring words to curse ourselves. Just like Israel. Oh, it's better we have died. Many times they said, it's better we have died. As if there were no cemeteries in Egypt. Oh, plenty there. Why we have to come and then get die here? Moses! And then God said, tell them, Moses, what I have heard in my ears, I will do them to you. Do them to those people. I always wondered, if God will perform the cursing words,
why he doesn't listen to our prayers. Amazing.
I don't know whether you got that.
Now, 1 Corinthians 4:12, look at what Paul is saying. Paul has severe opposition everywhere in his ministry. I want to tell you, you trouble the devil, he will let loose the demons, and you will get the opposition first right from the middle of the church. 1 Corinthians 4:12. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being cursed, reviled, we bless. Paul knew the secret of protection. Can you see? So we need actually the help of the Holy Spirit to remember and to protect. Brothers and sisters, not knowing these things, many believers are going through real severe attack of the enemy, because cursing words are accompanied by demonic spirits. Spirits accompany words. Death words, spirits of death. Life words, of course, the Holy Spirit will help us. The angels will begin to help us. Words of blessing. Okay. So we have to do something. See after me, I have to do something. Don't remain neutral. He said nasty words at me. That's okay. God never said for you to say that's okay. You got to do something. Neutrality will not protect you. Jesus said, when someone strikes you on his on your cheek, or hits us on our cheek, turn the other. See, you have to do something. Hits you here, show the other one, let him hit here. Difficult, eh? The natural thing is to give them one. That's the natural thing. The spiritual thing is to turn the other cheek, but the big mistake is to do nothing. Huh? Yes. Neutrality is dangerous. You know why? Well, when you did nothing, you are going to keep that in over here, and later the problem will arise and you will not know that it has come from inside due to that incident that day. But that's going to give problem now. You did nothing. That's why he says, anybody curses, come on, don't keep quiet, bless. And cancel it. Speak the right words. That's the way we protect ourselves. You know, when Joab did something and David knew that that curse was going to come inside his kingdom, and he said, this thing, my kingdom and my house, we are free. He spoke. You got to speak. It's a world of words. You got to speak. If we keep it, do nothing, and it'll boil inside, and you have started a problem. You cannot be neutral. 1 Peter 3:9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, without you, we there's nothing. Nothing that we can learn, Lord. 1 Peter 3:9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Can you see that? We need to do something. Don't remain neutral and say, I'm a child of God, nothing will come to me. No. That's foolishness. All right. Then unscriptural covenants. When you are making a covenant with people who worship false gods, some people they do, you know. Sometimes in marriage, and sometimes in business. Be very careful. You are not only making a covenant with people, but you are making a covenant with your gods also. And that can bring a curse. Now, blessings take the form of, I will give you certain words that will amplify the depth of blessing. Exaltation, being lifted up. You will be the head. You will make the decision. And the tail follows. Health, reproductiveness in every area of your life. Prosperity, victory, and God's favor. That's the grace of God. Help will be there when blessings, we are enjoying blessings. These things will be there. But look at when we are enduring curses, humiliation, failure to reproduce, mental and physical sicknesses, family breakdown, division in family, poverty, failure, God's disfavor, defeat, oppression. Now, let us go over and see the evidences of curses over a person's life. And it is usually over a family. Now, when I go through these things, examine in your life and also in your family with the help of the Holy Spirit. Don't be frightened. And He will help you. The reason why He is teaching us all these things is to break these hidden barriers, that we may come forward and serve without the hindrance. He does not want us to be buried by any unseen forces. That's the reason. But God exposing these things through His word. He has written it in His word. It is good for you and me. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, whatever that is written, whatever that is revealed are for us and for our children. Whatever that is not revealed, that belongs to God. So if these things are revealed, we should know what it is. The purpose why God has written it. Okay. Evidences of curses over a person's life. Now, there can be one or two evidences, but then if they are very persistent, if they are very strong, and there is no way to get out, and it is a really making you, not allowing you to go forward and come up in life and take the leading position in the church, whatever, and you got to think whether this could be a curse or not. Number one, mental and emotional problems. Now, in the Bible, soul sometimes referred to as the heart. Mental and emotional breakdown, Deuteronomy chapter 28:20. Now, you can maybe, the Lord may remind you some in your relations, in your families, in your friends. So when you go to minister, you should know these things. And I'm going to, afterwards, probably today or later on, show you how I minister. Not that I have learned everything, but then many times it has worked. Amen? Yeah, watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 28:20. I wish I had known these things when I was going through severe trouble. The Lord will send you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. Can you see that word confusion? Where does that come? In the mind. People say, oh, I'm confused, you know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take a decision. I can't. I'm scared. Every time I want to do something, and then my mind gets another thing, and I'm confused. You know? Confusion. And rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Verse 28. The Lord will strike you with madness. Can you see that? Madness? You see, there are more mental hospitals than any other thing in the Western countries, you know. Yeah. Strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. Heart is actually the soul. Confusion of the soul. Disturbances. Trouble. Unable to think. People will just sometimes come and they tell me, Pastor, are you? Nothing goes right. And I don't know what to do. I come to church, I can't receive anything. Even the word of God doesn't seem to help me. Sometimes I wish I just stay back from church. Yeah. The other day one lady was speaking. And I was explaining to her the effects of a curse. And she said, that looks like me. I said, maybe. But you got to come and expose yourself to the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister. You see? So many times if you see here, heart is a soul, confusion, madness in the mind. Right? Verse 34. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. Mad means not actually you become a mental wreck in a mental hospital, but you do not know what to do. You have clueless. You have no idea about what God has said in the word. Maybe if you come to church, you just sit like a jackfruit and just get up and go. You haven't a clue about what's going on in your family, what's going on with the children. Absolutely. There is no peace. See, can you see the effects with what is pronounced here? Verse 65. And among those nations you shall find no rest. Can you see? Restlessness. Nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart. Can you see that, brothers and sisters? A trembling heart. My margin says an anxious heart. Oh, well, I don't know whether this is going to be this, or whether it's going to be that. What if I do this? I don't know. Nobody to advise me. A trembling heart, a trembling mind, confusion. Brothers and sisters, millions are out there with that. That's okay. They are in the world. But what about the church? If we are bound by these things, if the sheep of God, if they are not free from these things, how is it that we can deliver those people? Yeah, we cannot. See? So mental and emotional sickness, right? Think about it. Anybody having like that in your family, like all the time depressed and all the time confused, or among your relations, you should discern immediately. You must trace back behind what and what things has happened. Has anybody been there to any mental asylum? Has anybody been attacked in their same family or their mother's side or their father's side? That's the way you have to ask the Lord so that you will be a good instrument in His hands to minister deliverance for them. You can't just simply put, oh Lord, heal them. Get them out of this problem. No. You have to go to the root of the problem and address it. Secondly, repeated chronic sicknesses. Chronic. Especially when there is no clear medical diagnosis and the doctor says it's your kidney one day and again another day your bladder and again another day another thing. Another problem shows up again. Another thing they said, oh well, it's something to do with your liver. Oh dear Lord, have you heard people saying like that? Oh yes. Most unnatural. And they will say, I know there are some people, they suspect something. The doctors, I say, well, there's something inside there. And then they cut open and they see there is nothing. And they just stitch it. And they said, what did they find? And this lady said, nothing, Pastor. These things are true, my dear brothers and sisters. These things are true. And many times doctors will use every test. Hear this. If you come across any cases like this, and God will use you, and they diagnose it, every area, everything, they cannot find out. There's something wrong inside, they say. You can be sure you are there hitting a curse there. Almost all the time. But that does not show up. That demon hides. It won't show up. Sometimes these spirits, you know, they will meddle with the medical instruments also. And show them something different over there. It was a big, massive thing that they said inside. It's been there for 9 months. We need to get it out, otherwise you're going to die. And we prayed, and that lady manifested demons. And then following week, and she went and tested, and then they said there were twins inside. And twins were born. These things. Oh, people of God, we have got a great work to do, but we need to know our position in the Lord. Yeah. Man, I tell you, we have a wonderful, wonderful ministry in the Holy Spirit. Every person. Well, can you imagine in the whole body, only these three fingers are working. That person is bedridden. These three fingers are working. That's how all the churches are. Oh, I can see the finger moving. You're true. What has happened to all the others? What has happened to the legs? The ears, the eyes? Time up. Time up, church. All right. The words used are plague, incurable, fearful, prolonged, lingering. You see, Deuteronomy 28:21. Now we are seeing about chronic sicknesses and diseases, 28:21. The Lord will make the plague or pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. I really consider AIDS and all kinds of these things, you know, as plagues, as judgment from God. True. It's a judgment from God. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with the scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. Can you see? They're very, very malignant. They're very, it's like parasites. They're not leaving. It's fearful, incurable, lingering. Waiting there. Verse 27. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scab, and with itch from which you cannot be healed. Can you see? Well, somebody's going to say, the doctor said there is no healing. And we're going to say, no, God. Oh, then you should know how to pray. Oh, there's no healing. All right. Then we should know how to intercede and then come with the authority of Jesus. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer and to keep the axe where that curse is. That you can deliver those people. Unless the curse is broken, listen carefully. Unless a curse is broken, that demon will not go. And you ask, why, Pastor? Because Satan is a legal expert. He finds anything legal, he will stick on there. You can get one demonic CD in your home. My God, he got your room. Yeah. Be very careful what you take inside your home, your house. What is the verse did we read? 27, is it? Verse?
Okay, 35. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils. The Lord will strike you. Cannot be healed. And from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Oh, dear Lord. Verse 59. Then the Lord will bring you upon your descendants' extraordinary place. Can you see that? Extraordinary. And these doctors, they scratch their heads and what are we going to do? This, you know, once they start discovering some medicine for some sickness, another new one comes. Extraordinary plagues. Great and prolonged plagues. Can you see that? It's not going away. They are treating and treating 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. They are treating, but it's not getting healed. And serious and prolonged sicknesses. Prolonged sicknesses. When you go to minister to people, when you're going to pray for people and all that, you have to get the history. When did it start? Is there anybody who had this in the family? Yeah, you got to, as much as possible, gather some information. At the same time, pray inside. Holy Spirit, I don't know to pray. I haven't a clue how to pray. And everybody says, waiting for that sister to die. Given up by doctors. They've done their best. But it won't go. There's no healing. They've done the operation also. But nothing do. How many are there? How many? But the church should be the ones who should be delivering them. The doctors can go only biologically, you know, physically. But what happens in the spiritual world, they haven't a clue. But thank God for the doctors who are born again and spirit-filled. But how many are there in the hospitals? How many are there? My God, in Sri Lankan hospitals, you will find all demons around all the walls. All the demon idols and everything, snakes and it's hard to go and pray in there. Thinking of coming over ministry? But praise the Lord, the power of God comes down. Oh yes. Oh yes. Verse 61. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, but the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. All right. So, in essence, repeated chronic sicknesses, and especially when there is no clear medical diagnosis and the doctor says, you know, it's fatal. Now, watch this carefully what I'm going to say now. Now, what I'm saying does not necessarily indicate that every form of sickness or disease is a direct result of a curse. But there are, however, certain keywords that we can pick up from the Word of God. Plague, incurable, prolonging, extraordinary, fearful, lingering, incurable. These words we can pick up from the Scriptures. Now we got to see, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what kind of case we are facing in our family, among our relations, or among the friends, whenever you are called. I believe the reason why you are permitting, the Lord is permitting, for those of you who are here, even the others who would hear messages like this, He will not let you know just for your knowledge. No, He wants to use you. I said He wants to use you as a deliverer. That's right. Not to just gain knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, more knowledge, and then get stagnant. Oh, hallelujah, every Sunday. And then go back home, come back, again the same, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Isn't that right, Brother Tony? Yes. I just want to. All right. There is another term used in the medical field, watch this carefully, is malignancy. Have you heard about that? Malignancy. That's the Collins Dictionary explain it as. Has anybody heard that word? Yeah. The Collins Dictionary explains it as, watch this, as having a desire to harm others. The meaning of that word, as having a desire to harm others. Man, this is speaking of a person. Desire is definitely to do with a person. Malignancy. Obviously, this describes a person rather than just a condition. So that means we are almost, when they say that, they say that we are unable to find out the real root cause, but this is malignant. This is something is really harming this person. And we know almost we are hitting the wall, a curse. And you can go and say, Father, I really do not know, whatever it may be. I break every curse that's coming down from his mother or father or ancestors. I break it in the name of Jesus. I release her from every curse. Lay hands and see what the change is thereafter. If there was no curse, you haven't lost anything. Did you lose anything? It doesn't cost you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't keep your mouth shut and then say, oh well, oh, poor thing, you know, she's dying. All right. Another term. Many have heard this word. Hereditary. Hereditary. That means, The doctors, sometimes they ask us now, is there anybody in your family have heard that word? Anybody in your family background, they have the same thing? That immediately shows what the Lord said. These things will go from generation to generation. Well, they do not know the scriptures. They are just coming behind us to catch up with us. Oh, it looks like it's something to do with the family. So, there again, if you see the same kind of sickness in a family here, there, over there, and then you can surely detect the thing, so you can break that thing and lose those people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why God has given that name for us, to use that authority and to set the captives free. Amen. All right. Now, the third one. Now, actually, this hereditary, the word hereditary, when you come across, is the most commonest form of curses, or the typical marks of a curse at work. All right? Remember that. Third one, barrenness. You see, barrenness. Repeated miscarriages. Some people will conceive and that'll be a miscarriage. Another child they will conceive, it'll be a miscarriage. Another child they'll conceive, it'll be a miscarriage. It happened 5 times for my sister. She never had a child. Finally, she had to adopt one. For some people, it'll come to the final month, an abortion. Miscarriage. The final month. And when you trace, sometimes you will find the same thing in their family for somebody. Maybe the mother's sister, or maybe the father's somebody. Sometimes it hops one generation, it's come to the other one. Repeated miscarriages or related female problems. That means anything you consult a gynecologist. Anything to do with the womb. Now, that does not necessarily mean, well, I have something wrong that I'm going to the doctor, I'm under a curse. No, I didn't say that. You study these things. You analyze it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't come to a conclusion and break your mind. And use God's wisdom prayerfully. Pray with someone else. And then let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. Amen? Yeah. And He will, because He is longing for our deliverance. How can any father allow his children to be under the bondage of the enemy? No. So, related female problems. Deuteronomy 28:18. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. That means whatever that conceives. Of course, he's referring to the child, conception. See? So, if this occurs, miscarriages on and off, on and off, on and off, and especially when it is found in within the family for someone at the other cells, you can be almost sure that there is an atmosphere of something that is in operation. So if you hear something like that, if somebody calls you to pray, first pray to the Lord and then seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, well prepared before you go to the hospital or anywhere to pray. And even while praying in front of the patient, always, listen, always inside be sensitive to the Holy Spirit while you are praying. Because the Holy Spirit may say, don't lay hands. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Never be rushing. These things I had to learn by myself with the Lord. You know, I went up and down and all that. I will pray my guts out and then come for some people, and then somebody will come running and tell me, Pastor, you know what? I said, what? They died. Are you here? Breakdown of marriage, fourth one, and family alienation. That's very common these days, isn't it, this type of a curse? Breakdown of marriage and family alienation is family scattering, division. Husband and wife separation, divorces, brother and sister division, parents and children division, you know, family getting scattered. Deuteronomy 28:18. Can you stop that over there? Put it in the pause. Excuse me, that's not 18. 41, 28, 41. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Brothers and sisters, look at me. You shall have sons and daughters, and God says, they shall not be with you, they will go into captivity. The parents of this present generation, they are facing the highest attack of the enemy within the family, where they see their sons and daughters taken into captivity. Captivity to drugs. Captivity to premarital sex. Captivity to satanic music. Oh dear Lord. Captivity to all kinds, all forms of occult practices. Crystal balls and psychic lines and you name it, that's in the internet. Pornography. Total captivity. Today I heard over the radio that they are going to make abortion legal all over the world, they are discussing. Yeah. That's murder. And the curse of God will come upon those countries, the government. No one escapes breaking the laws of God. So, these children are taken captive by these things, and the family alienation, the division, the scattering of the family has taken place. Now you can see the condition of the earth just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The condition of the families will be like that. And we are in these days. And God says, I will send Elijah. What do you mean by that? I will send people with the anointing of Elijah, anointing of John the Baptist, and they will come and preach and the word of God, uncompromising word of God. And they will come with a prophetic anointing, and they say, repent! Oh yes, that will be the message. Elijah's message was repentance. John the Baptist's message was repentance. The message of Jesus was repentance. The message of the disciples apostles was repentance. The message of Paul was repentance. But see how the devil has swallowed that message now. People don't want to hear it. They want to hear it. But those who are praying, agonizing in their spirit, they are down to earth and they are asking the Lord on their knees, Lord, what is happening? Oh, please help. Please help. And they are, you know, meditating the word, and they're coming every Sunday after Sunday, and even for the Bible studies, they say, Lord, we want to change, we want to change. What are you doing? Why are you silent? And the Lord will raise such people. You watch it. It's coming up quickly. I say this, I don't know why I say this, in this message is coming up. Lord is raising, even going to raise many people, even among here. He will raise you and he will open your mouth. You will not be able to control your mouth. You will speak, repent! You will never compromise with any evil, anything that is hypocrisy, anything that is lies in the church. You will never seek the glory of man. They don't like you, they don't like you. That's it. This is the time. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. You see, this is the condition of the families of the earth just before the return of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold means see, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn what? What he will do? The hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. First, the hearts of the fathers must come to the children, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Why? Because there is a division between the father and the children. Many children do not even know about their father, who their father is. And they have not known the love of the father. And they struggle. And they struggle because they have not tasted the love of the father, and they cannot relate now to God the Father. They are unable to receive his love, because they have just been rejected, trampled, hated, abused. Oh, they're hurting. They are hurting. So God says, I will send people with the anointing of Elijah, and they will come and restore the hearts of the fathers, and he will draw them to the children. Restoration of the family. But before the times of restoration, repentance must come. Acts 3:19. Repentance must come first. Hallelujah. Now, the fifth one is continual financial insufficiency. Money never stays at home. How much you earn is always something to pay. Never stays, brother. I won't even say we just have just make it just enough. No, it's below, it's insufficient. If you have to say go into the groceries, if you have to buy groceries for $100 and you got $100, you have just enough. If you got $75 and you got to buy for $100, you are below, you are in poverty. If you have $150 and you have only to buy for $100, you are in abundance. Most of the Christians, you know where we are. I don't need to say. Is this a condition that the Lord has brought us for? And we said, oh, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we are the children of God, you know, Jehovah Jireh. And we're great in singing songs and all that. But when it comes to practical, we don't, we just... We don't mean what we sing and all that, right? And we don't dig into the word of God and say, hey, what is wrong, Lord? We know that there's nothing wrong with you, but definitely wrong with us. Please, Lord, please, what is this? Am I making any mistake? Am I going and spending too much somewhere? Am I seeking the Lord first? Abundance is given to do the will of God. I said abundance is given to do the will of God. That we may lavishly give to the others and towards the expansion of the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of prosperity. That's the purpose. See, God, to fulfill his plan and his purpose. So continual financial insufficiency. Deuteronomy 28:17, it says so. 28:17. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. That means hardly anything will be there. You will open up some tins, you know, just get some biscuits, there is nothing there. Oh, dear Lord. The baskets will be empty. Verse 29. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in the darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Verse 47 and 48 explain it beautifully. 47 and 48. Watch this. Because you did not serve the Lord God with joy and gladness of heart. See, for the abundance. Why the abundance is given? That we may serve the Lord with joy of heart, with gladness of heart, to serve him in the expansion of the kingdom. Because you did not do that in abundance, therefore you shall serve your enemies, demons, who the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. In need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Now let us compare 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. Oh, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. Remember, all these curses that are written in that book, Deuteronomy, over there, for all that, Jesus became a curse on the tree. He became a curse so that we be out of this. Curses. But you may say, then why most of the people are under it? We will come to the experience. Legal side is one thing. Experience is another thing. Two different things. The legal side, what God did. But what about the experience? We will come to that later on. So 2 Corinthians 9:8. Are you there? We're finishing almost. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See how many times that little word all is repeated. Can you see that? You can make a circle around there in your Bible. God is able to make how much grace? All grace abound towards you, that always having all sufficiency in all things, not some things, all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So from here we can know that prosperity, the abundance, is given for every good work. We be in the center of God's will, that we will be able to give towards his kingdom, give towards his people, give towards those who really lack, and whatever the purposes God wants us to give, so that only when we have the abundance that we can do the will of God. How can that man take that man who was dying on the street, that Samaritan, and he took him to the hospital, paid some money, he took him in his camel or donkey. At that time, that was the Mercedes. He had something to be taken, and he had some money to pay the hospital. Shamin suddenly had to go through an operation where we went for the ministry in Australia. Suddenly they said, no, she had to be operated. I said, oh my God, how much is the charge? They said $10,000, Australian dollars. I never had 100. And those people who invited us, they said, oh pastor, don't worry, we will somehow take our bangles, take our chains and everything, you know. They even never had any money. See the condition of the church. And finally, they got hold of our medical, whatever the card or New Zealand card, and they said, don't worry about it. New Zealand comes under us, we'll do it free for you. Unless we have abundance, brother, oh dear Lord, you can look up and see whether we are in abundance or not. God help us. The other one, how many, much more time to go? Should be over by now. Any minute? All right. I'll finish this one. Accident prone, the other one. People meet with accidents, you know. You see a child all the time falling, breaking one day the leg, another day the finger, another day the teeth. Oh, this child all the time falls down, some mother says. Accident prone. They all the time, they are carefully driving, somebody comes and bang. And it repeats. You got to think. One person had been meeting with an accident all the time. And he came just before I went to New Zealand. He came that night before the following day for our flight. And